made headlines. There's a story about a little boy who was sick and he wasn't able to go to church on Palm Sunday. And his father returned from church holding a palm branch. And the little boy was curious and he asked the dad, he said, "Dad," he said, "why have you got that palm branch today?" And the dad said, "Well, you see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honour him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy, just a look came over his face and he's just gone, "Oh, you're kidding me. The one Sunday I miss and Jesus shows up." So today will be the last day that we're going to look at some funny headlines from around the world. Let's have a look at some. Okay, and I've found some of these. Yeah, it's unheard of, isn't it? Okay, all right. All right, next one. It wasn't very safe, was it? Sort of like, okay, next one. Yeah, okay. What else does a cow do? I don't know. Okay, all right, next one. It's the best place to fall, I would say. All right. Now, I don't know about sermon topics, all right, but okay, all right. I don't think those go together. All right. Jesus is still making headlines. This was only last year, actually, so there you go. So this morning, as many of you know, it's Palm Sunday, the day taken from the Gospels where the whole city literally threw a parade for Jesus. Jesus rode into the city. The people threw palm branches in anticipation of his coming. Thus we get our word, Palm Sunday. But the day was marked with the time of celebration where Jesus was worshipped, where he was praised. And today we're going to examine literally an entrance that no one expected, okay? We're going to look at three major players in the story and then I think three lessons that we can take, you know, sort of like when Jesus makes an entrance into our own life. Because sometimes in life, there are things that happen that we just don't expect. Because sometimes things don't just turn out the way that we were hoping they would. Many years ago, and I say many years ago when my kids were a lot younger, okay, Julie and I had the privilege of being able to walk the kids to school and pick them up afterwards. And we only lived about 800 metres from the local primary school. So Jonathan, who's now 20, sorry, now, yeah, he's 20, okay, he just started in prep. So this is what I'm talking about. This is ancient history here, okay. And Rebecca was in grade 2, and my eldest, Daniel, was in grade 5. Now, we picked them up as usual, you know, sort of like, but being the Fisher family, well, maybe it was me, I don't know, my influence, we used to often turn it into a running race to get home, okay? Now, Jonathan was with Julie and Rebecca on one side of the road, and Daniel and I thought we'd be clever by going across to the other side of the road and going faster than them, okay? So we thought, Daniel and I thought we'd pulled off this sneaky move and, you know, we sort of like we hadn't been spotted by the other people on the other side and everything. And we ran and we were in the lead and we were feeling really good about things. I turned my head to look at the others over the other side of the road and bam, okay? Literally, I tripped over a tree root that was sticking out of the footpath. I sent myself into La La Land for the next week. I tripped over and hit the stone driveway so hard, I knocked myself out and caused all sorts of medical emergency. Daniel, who was running with me, literally thought I had died, okay? Julie came running across the other side. She had to leave the others on the other side. So that was yet another thing. But she ran across the other side and she had to slap me just to wake me up, okay? Yes, you did. You told me that, okay? Well, maybe Daniel told me, but anyway. So they had to get the ambulance and all sorts of things happening. But, you know, sort of sometimes we have the grandest plans in life and it just doesn't work out the way that we think. You know, I had it all worked out. You know, we were going to run fast, but it just didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to happen. Now, back to the Palm Sunday story. We've got this triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. All the crowds and the people waving their palm branches. They're shouting, Hosanna! There's three distinct groups in this story. There's the crowd, okay? There's the Pharisees and the disciples. They're all part of this whole event that is happening. This grand entrance. But it didn't turn out the way that they expected. Let's have a look at this video from the Son of God movie.
We set out for Jerusalem. Thousands were heading there for the festival of Passover.
Where is he now?
He's just entered the city on a donkey.
See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey. Where's he headed?
Towards the temple.
He must not interfere with Passover. God will bring his wrath down upon all of us. And who knows what Pilate will do if the crowds run out of control? Nicodemus, go with Malchus. If he enters the temple, watch him. Do not blink. Go.
This is a big day. It's a big day. Jesus is making his grand entrance into the city of Jerusalem. And just a little background. As the people were waving their palm branches, they'd shout, Hosanna. Now you need to understand this isn't the first time that this has happened. In fact, it was a traditional greeting, okay? The people were accustomed to welcoming a national hero in such a way, a conquering king that would come into the city. And so when the people knew that person was coming, they would prepare. They'd often gather at the entrance and they'd wave their palm branches. The palm branch was literally this symbol of victory. Now, what's interesting thing here is that the crowd, they literally had a perspective of, well, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? They weren't looking for a saviour for their sins. They were looking for this. What's in it for themselves? They had this perspective of selfishness, okay? Because they were looking for someone that could literally take them away from the Roman oppression at the time. You know, take them away from the Roman rule, get the Romans off their back because they didn't like the Romans, literally. They heard about this guy, Jesus. He'd raised Lazarus from the dead. We'd spoken about that last week. And a lot of them heard the news that Jesus is coming. The entourage has gathered. People see him. They get excited. This is that guy. He's someone from the dead. Oh, wow. Surely he can handle the Romans. If he can raise someone from the dead, oh, this is going to be great. So they're grabbing their palm branches. They start waving them. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And some, the scriptures say in John, were asking the question, well, who is this guy? I don't know. Other people are thinking, well, he's our meal ticket, okay? He can handle the Romans, you know? He raises people from the dead, you know? But a lot of the people really didn't know who he was. Now, one thing for sure is that they were looking, but they didn't see. In fact, they thought Jesus was there just to fulfill their wishes. John 12:13, it says, they shouted, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And when they realized that Jesus was not going to do what they wanted, what did they do? Only a week later, they shouted, take him away and crucify him. Look at the religious leaders. These guys are religious leaders. They knew the prophecy in the scriptures. That's what I loved about that video. Sort of like, they knew the prophecy, okay? You know, they should have seen him coming. They should have seen what was going on. The Old Testament tells us, it's prophesied in Zechariah, that Jesus would come, the Messiah would come into Jerusalem riding on the colt of a donkey. So how did they miss that? How did they miss the fact that Jesus was the Messiah? I think their perspective was, hang on, I'm in control of this situation. Not Jesus, I'm in control. The Pharisees were desperate to hold on to control. They had a good thing going. They didn't want Jesus to mess it up. You know, the Romans let them do pretty much what they wanted. You know, sort of like, you know, that they just sort of like were wanting to continue with the way things were. Think about that for a moment. They are in control. They weren't going to let it up. The Pharisees said in John 12:19, the Pharisees said to each other, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him. The Pharisees, even though they knew the law, even though they knew the scriptures, okay, even though they should have seen the signs, they had an unteachable heart because they felt that they were in control. They had a hardened heart. Now, there's another group, the disciples. These are the guys who walked with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus for the last 3 years. They've seen him do some incredible things. They left everything to follow him. And now's the time. People are shouting Hosanna, and they're probably thinking, oh, finally, because they've been with him all these times where Jesus has literally done things. He's healed, it says in scripture, he healed the lepers and he told the people, go tell the priests, but say nothing to anyone else. When Jesus healed Jairus' daughter earlier in the New Testament, he told everyone, shh, be quiet, okay? All right, do not talk about what you've seen this day. But now they've come into Jerusalem. The people are waving their palm branches. They're shouting, Hosanna! And they're like, yes, we've finally arrived. Everything we thought that was going to happen is happening. You know, it's like even Jesus himself said he can't keep the people quiet. You know, sort of like he said, you know, let them sing my praises. In fact, if they don't sing my praises, the rocks you're standing on are going to cry out. I mean, the disciples must have been on such a high. You know, you can imagine Peter walking in. He's left everything to follow Jesus. And he's walking in and seeing the crowd going, yeah. Yeah, he's my mate. I've been with him for 3 years. Oh, yeah. The problem with the disciples, though, is they weren't seeing the big picture. Jesus was making this grand entrance, but it wasn't what the disciples were expecting. In Matthew 16, a conversation between Jesus and Peter. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly, that word plainly, that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside, began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said. This will never happen to you. Peter didn't really fully understand what was happening. The disciples didn't really fully understand what was happening. They thought they knew. They thought Jesus was the Messiah who was going to rescue them from Roman oppression and everything. They didn't know what was going to happen. And it can be like that in our lives. Difficulties in life, obstacles, our trials. It can produce character traits that are necessary for us to live a fruitful, productive life. But a lot of times we don't want to go through that pain to produce those traits, do we? We'd rather God just insert them in us. It's like a spiritual drive-through, you know? Wouldn't that be great? You'd sort of like, you could just drive up and you'd hear a little speaker say, "Well, Jenna, welcome to spiritual growth. How can I help you? Ooh, I'd like some patience today and grace, but just hold the judgment, please." Okay, go on, first window. It doesn't work like that, does it? But a lot of times in our own lives, we're like, "Okay, God, I want to grow. I want to be close to you, God. I really do. I want these things to happen. I want that full life that you promised." But just not like this, okay? Not like this. All three of these groups, the crowd, the Pharisees, the disciples, they experienced an entrance that no one expected. And this is where Jesus comes in. They didn't understand what it was about. It wasn't quite what they expected. Do you see yourself in any of those three groups? I do. I can see myself in any or all of those three groups on any given week. Okay? But there's something special that happens when Jesus makes an entrance into our own situation, into our own life. Firstly, Jesus creates a beautiful disruption. Now, you might remember from week one of this series, okay, we had this conversation that Jesus had with Peter and Andrew when they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and he literally said, "Hey, guys, join me." They had a great business going. They were doing fine, is what, you know, was said, Matthew 4:19. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. They left their nets at once and followed him. They were willing to put everything down, okay? They were willing to change their whole life because he had called them. The same routine that they had been doing over and over, hopping in the boats in the morning, going out, catching some fish, anyway, coming back in, selling the fish and everything like that. But Jesus comes along into their life and says, "I will offer you an opportunity to do something significant." He does that with us. He does that with us. They wanted it so badly, they left everything at once and followed him. What about us? I think sometimes we just go through life and try not to think about being challenged by Jesus. We desire to be a Christian, but at the same time, we don't really want it to impact too much on our lives, on my plans, on my dreams, my ideas. We love hearing about Jesus, learning about Jesus, but don't really tell me how to apply these things to my life. You know, it's easier. It is easier to learn, but it's harder to apply. We can go through the motions of life. It's life. It's ingrained within us. Same thing, same routine. We get up in the morning. Sometimes we can get stuck in a rut, you know? You know, when I naturally fall into a groove in life, into a rut, and you do the same thing over and over and over and these ingrained patterns, you know, at times it's not very healthy for our lives. So my question for you is this morning. If your life stays on its current trajectory, will it land on your God-given destiny? Or is it going to take you away from God? Maybe for some of you this morning you're stuck in a rut. But when Jesus makes an entrance into your situation, when you invite Jesus to be a part of the obstacles in your life, when you invite him to be a part of the problem, a part of your life, he comes in. He disrupts things. He shakes things up. And there are times where we just desperately need that. We need Jesus to do that. And it's a beautiful disruption. Secondly, Jesus brings a new perspective. Now go with me on this. Your perspective of things is your reality. All right? It's the framework upon which you view so many things that happen in the world. Okay? Lots of things go into the creation of your perspective. You know, your background, your childhood, your education, where you've traveled, all sorts of things. A lot of things contribute to the construction of your perspective, your framework upon which you view the world around you. Now, it's amazing how much our framework, okay, has a massive impact on our thinking. Let me give you an example. Growing up, we didn't really have any herbs or spices in our food, okay? It's just the way it was. The only cheese I ever knew growing up was just plain old cheese, all right? Now, I can remember being out with some friends and we were getting a pizza, all right? Now, I remember smelling something in the pizza shop that I thought was really disgusting. I was like going, oh, this is just horrible. And it just stank. Now, that was from my perspective. I'm thinking, okay, that's so bad. Who threw up around here? It's just horrible. I'm sorry, that's just the kindest way I know how to put it. I looked around at a table behind me, and there was a person that had a pepperoni pizza. Nothing wrong with pepperoni pizza, love it. But they're putting Parmesan cheese all over it. I had never smelt Parmesan cheese in my life, okay? Right, and they're putting it on, the combination of the grease and the pizza and everything like that. It just smelt pretty bad. But here's what happened. I looked around, I've gone, oh, okay, that's the smell, but that must be all right. Okay, we got our pizza, and I'm like, okay. I tried it, and I've gone, whoa, this is all right. This is awesome. Okay, everything changed. My perspective changed when I had a better understanding, you know what, Parmesan cheese, it's okay. It's okay. Our perspectives in life should develop as our relationship with Jesus deepens. It should. In John 12:16, it says the disciples didn't understand at the time that this is a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into glory, they remembered what had happened and realized these things that had been written about him. They're like, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. Sometimes we read the Bible like it's a play that all the people that are contained within it knew exactly what was happening. The disciples didn't. They didn't. But their perspectives developed as their relationship with Jesus deepened. Deepened. And they're like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand what is happening around me. Now I know why I'm going through what I'm going through. There are times we don't know. But sometimes when we go through those things at the end, and we're looking back, we can go, oh, now I understand. Sometimes our perspectives can be like the crowd, or the Pharisees, or the disciples. Sometimes our perspective can be like, well, Jesus, what am I going to get out of it for me? Okay, I've got a relationship with you, but what am I going to get out of it for me? Okay? Sometimes my perspective can be like, I'm in control, God, not you. I've got a pretty good plan, so maybe, you know, okay, maybe it's just got to work out this way, God, all right? Okay, so, you know, sort of like, you've just got to do this for me. Sometimes our perspective can be like, oh, come on, Lord, really? Nah, not like that. But the truth is, when our relationship deepens with Jesus, our perspective changes, it develops, it grows, it evolves. Now, here's something I understand about perspectives. They have to be framed with faith. They've got to be framed with faith. So Jesus, when he makes an entrance, when I allow him to make an entrance into our life, into the situation that we're in, he brings a beautiful disruption, but he also creates a new perspective. And this leads to this third thing, and that is that Jesus gives us a Hosanna moment. He offers you a Hosanna moment. Now, people that day, they were chanting Hosanna, you know, waving their palm branches as Jesus come in. Now, that meaning of the word Hosanna, it had changed over the years, okay? It used to be a cry for help from the Jews. It was like the ordinary language of the time was like, oh, save me, please, Hosanna. But gradually it became to be salvation, salvation. Salvation is come. So you got these two ideas. Save me. Salvation come. Jesus saves us. And he does that. And that's great. He does that. So when you're saying Hosanna, you're saying, Jesus, save us. And he does. I love those words. Those words that Matthew tells us, and Jesus said, you know, think about this for a moment. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. If you've made a decision to be a follower of Jesus, that is an Hosanna moment. Jesus gives you room to breathe. To breathe. Because sometimes in life, it just has the tendency just to pile in on us. And we feel this crushing weight. We need a Hosanna moment. When Jesus makes an entrance into our lives, into our situation, and he brings us an Hosanna moment, a moment to breathe. But here's the key. The key to the whole thing is to surrender. Surrender. Have a look at this.
I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but see, you don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh, well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
When Jesus makes his entrance into Jerusalem, he did so as an act of surrender. We see that in Matthew 26. Jesus is praying in the garden. And he said these words. He went a little further and he bowed with his face to the ground. He cried, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus was willing to surrender himself to the Father because he knew that the Father knew best. Sometimes, though, we have the tendency to say, "Jesus, I'll give you this much, okay? Jesus, I'll give you a little bit." Instead of surrendering all, we want to hold on to things. It's not the way to go. We've got to give all of ourselves. If you surrender all of yourself to him and invite him to make an entrance into your life, it'll be an unforgettable entrance. He'll bring relief. He'll bring you room to breathe. He'll create something beautiful. Hey, it might not be what you expect, but it'll be what you need. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning we acknowledge that you are here with us. You are our mighty God, the first and the last. You created all by your spoken word, and the fact that we even breathe, it's a joy. We acknowledge your greatness and your goodness, and we acknowledge that your Spirit is here to challenge us and to stir us. This morning we invite you to have a long, hard look at our lives, at our hearts. Examine us and see if there is any offensive way within us. Remind us of the things that lead us away from you. Jesus, as you look at us, we ask for your forgiveness and mercy. Forgiveness for the things that stop us from being all that you desire. We thank you for this forgiveness and for the entrance you make into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that even with the dumb things that we do, even with our struggles, our failures, our letdowns, you still love us and you're still there to take us in. You're there to forgive us. Lord, this morning, for those times when we feel that crushing weight of life, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us to just surrender to you. Give us the courage and the strength from your Holy Spirit to surrender every aspect of our lives to you. You are our God. And as we turn to the things of Easter this week, may we never forget what Easter is about. Help us to prioritize just our time, to spend time, no matter where we are, no matter when, just to remember the events of Easter, to celebrate the events of Easter and all that it means to our lives. Lord, we thank you for these things. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.